Let the dead bury the dead. Those are pretty harsh words out of Jesus, to let the dead bury the dead. I can't think of much more in life that one is supposed to do in the sort of the circle of life than to honor those who have died, especially our parents, and to properly bury them. What's striking too is that just a few stories before this, Jesus at separate times has encountered people who are grieving the death of a loved one, in both cases a child. And in neither of the cases does Jesus say to the person, well, let the dead bury the dead. No, Jesus is moved with compassion, changes his schedule, goes off the path, and heals both of their children, raising them up to new life. So it seems as if Jesus has compassion on the grieving. Likewise, when the person says to Jesus, I just want to go back and say goodbye to my family, and Jesus gives a response of you've got to be focused, it might almost seem as if Jesus here doesn't have a heart or a compassion for people who, well, just the basic relationships in community that makes life worth living. But Jesus cares about people, cares about kin. From the cross, he even says to his mother, to one of his disciples, behold your son. And he says to the disciple, behold your mother. And in the Gospel of John, a full one-third of the Gospel of John is Jesus' farewell sermon, his farewell message to his disciples. So saying goodbye to people you love is important for Jesus. It's important in all of Scripture, in fact. So what's going on here that two seemingly noble and good things, to bury the dead and to love your kin, your family, why is Jesus seeming to be so harsh and critical of them? Well, I think it comes down to one word that is said by both of these would-be followers. And that word is, they use the word first. And they say, Jesus, first let me do this. Jesus, first let me do that. That's really what's at stake for Jesus. What is really first in our hearts? What is first for our time and our money and our energy? Because we know how this works. When we don't put Jesus first, our life gets filled up with other things. And I'm actually going to try a demonstration with you, okay? Okay. So let's just say that this jar here represents our life. Okay, and we're going to fill our jar with all sorts of things, like, you know, mowing the lawn and some paying the taxes and brushing our teeth and going to work and writing a thank you card to a family member, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And then, you know, suddenly our life is filled, and then we try to, you know, put, and this is a little cross here, you know, you try to put God in it, and it doesn't really work, right? We've filled our days with all sorts of things that don't really matter, that aren't the first, okay? But when we put Christ first in our life, and then we add all this other stuff to it, you know, we keep filling, suddenly, right, there's room for Jesus, and Jesus is at the center. And I wanted to use that example to just visualize the way in which we all know this. If we don't put Christ first, other stuff always gets in the way. But I don't want to make my sermon today a sort of about the evils of spending too much time brushing our teeth or something, okay? Now, I mean, I could go on a long sort of side about how much time we spend on maybe Netflix or on social media, and maybe you should feel a little bit of guilt today. That's fine. But I really want to get at this sort of this question that Jesus gets at, and that is the distinction between what is important and what is essential. And the challenge we have as humans not to make the important in our lives the most important. Again, how we distinguish as humans between what is important and what is essential. Because throughout our life, there will always be things that sort of seductively and even appeal to our noble side, and they want to lay first claim on our heart, our soul, our money, our time. So, for instance, when you're a young person in life, you might feel a real need to get good grades. You want to learn. You want to study and advance. And that's a good thing to open up doors. But it too can become something that can become first in our heart. Likewise, as a youth, we want to develop friends. It's so important, especially right in those youth and teenage years, to sort of develop friends. But it can become so easy to get obsessed with what other people think of us and our social rank. I can name other things too, but you know, as we sort of move along in life and we sort of have these opportunities professionally, we want to use the gifts that God has given us in our lives to make a difference. But it's really easy for us in our careers to get sidetracked and again, not just make it something that is good, but something that is first. Likewise, when it comes to raising children, like all parents, I want to give my children activities, but it's so, so easy then to make all those activities in our kids' lives our gods, the thing we put first in our heart. As you grow older, too, our body begins to demand more and more time, more and more resources, and our health, likewise, can become something that becomes not just good, but the first. And likely too, as we retire, we suddenly find ourselves with time, and then we can become obsessed with and focus on all of the politics that are happening in our world. And again, that which is noble can become first in our heart. And I'll just gently talk a little bit more about politics, because I think this was a week in which all of us are overwhelmed by what's happening. Right? Between the hearings about January 6th, about all the Supreme Court decisions, and reports of protests that went violent this weekend. Again, we're all on edge and feeling so many different feelings. My invitation today, my chastisement, is not for those of you that are rejoicing to stop rejoicing, or even for those of you that are angry to not be angry. I'm not so much worried about that today or the exercise in empathy to understand how other people think. What I really challenge you today is with the words of Jesus. When it comes to any aspect of our lives, anything into which we're putting energy, be it the political reality we live in, be it the personal one, be it the professional one, what is first in your heart? What is first? You know, going back to my two cups here, it's not immediately obvious which one has the cross inside of it. And I think that's a little bit true about our lives as well. My hope is that this Sunday, as always, it's an opportunity to examine where we've been. And as we come forward for Holy Communion, confessing our sins, to also, through the Spirit, commit ourselves once again to put Christ first in our lives. But even if we are the Spirit has come down on us and we leave church in holy and apostolic fire that Jesus is the reason for our existence, this week you're still going to have to brush your teeth. And you're still going to have to mow the lawn. And right, you're still going to have to go to the grocery store. And for many of you, you're still going to have to go to work, and you're still going to have to take the kids to kids' activities and take care of the grandkids, and you're still going to have to deal with the fact that our world is a crazy world. Just because we have Jesus in our hearts doesn't somehow mean we get to bypass all of life's anxieties, all of life's challenges. And that's where the rub of discipleship meets the road. That's the hard part, is that we're called as Christians, and even just as humans, we have to live in this world and always deal with things that are important, yet somehow recognize that they're important, they're not ultimate, they're not essential. And that's a lifelong struggle, to engage in the important and to not let it become first in our hearts. Again, I think this is the thing that as we walk with Christ, we discover we need to confess that which we were trying to be noble about has become essential. This week we can rejoice, though. We can rejoice because Jesus understands the distinction between the important and the essential. And Jesus, this week, he turns his face towards Jerusalem. You see, up until this point, he's been engaged in the important. He's been feeding people. He's been healing people. He's been calling people. He's been exorcising demons. He's been eating with the sinners. He's been doing all these very important and noble things that have surprised and challenged all who observe him. But Jesus knows there's something essential about his time on earth, and that is to go to Jerusalem and there to die and to rise and to make right every human's heart with God. So that out of that rocky soil that is our heart, then the cross can be the seed that blooms forth in the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and patience and peace and self-control. As Christians, we're called to live in a world full of important things, yet we're challenged and commanded never to let them be the most essential. And so we rejoice that Christ understood that and gave his life not just for the important, but for the essential, for you who is first in his heart. Amen.